Hello, all you wonderful Here to Thrive listeners. Today, I'm going to be talking about the 1-2-3s of stress and how I talk about resilience when I do workshops and organizations. It's the same way that I dealt with my own greatest challenge to date when I was diagnosed with breast cancer last year. This is always the model I apply when I'm trying to get a quick grip of the pressure that I'm dealing with in my life. It is the model I apply when I'm helping others with burnout and how to navigate that. And I'm hoping to give you a really brief introduction today and help you see how you can apply this model to your life when you're dealing with pressure. So stay tuned for some more on the 1-2-3s of stress. Welcome to Here to Thrive. I'm your host, Kate Snowwise. This is a podcast for people who are ready to step up and live a happier life. It's for those of us who are dedicated to understanding ourselves and getting the best that we can out of this thing called life. It's a mix of psychology and modern spiritual thought, always with a focus on practical advice so that you can take it back and apply it to your own life. I don't believe we're here to merely survive. I truly believe we're here to thrive. So let's get going. I have a personal favor to ask. I have intentionally kept Here to Thrive free of advertising. But what really does mean the world to me are your reviews. If Here to Thrive has helped you in some way, if it has helped you look at life differently or had a positive impact in your world, it would mean so very much to me if you could take half a moment out of your day to leave a positive review. iTunes can be a little tricky. You might need to search Here to Thrive again if you are already subscribed, and then you should see a review tab. You can also try typing thrive.how/review into your browser, and that might help as well. I read everyone. They mean so very much to me. I take your feedback on board. And yeah, thank you so much for just telling me you're out there listening. That's why I do this. It can feel a little lonely here sitting talking to a microphone. So knowing that you're out there and these words are impacting you, that means the world to me. But without further ado, let's get talking about the 1-2-3s of stress and how you might be able to get a better grip of the pressure you're experiencing in life. Now, as I mentioned in the introduction, I use this model in the resilience trainings that I do in a corporate setting. It's also the model that I came back to when I was facing the uncertainty of my breast cancer diagnosis last year. It gave me something to hold on to. It gave me a sense of control and helped point my actions in the right directions. Now, this model is loosely based on the cognitive behavioral model of stress by Lazarus and Folkman. That's the model that I used in my research back in 2007 or so when I studied stress and the impact on well-being in the workplace. Now, I mention that because it is one of the most researched models of stress still to this day. So I haven't just completely made this stuff up. In saying that, I do say loosely based. I have changed the language around it to make it more user-friendly and approachable. Sometimes the hard science doesn't translate that well when you're working in a coaching capacity. So I feel like the language I've applied to this model makes it a lot more user-friendly. Now, the reason I think this work is important in any way, shape, or form is because stress is a part of life. I was recently speaking at a conference and I asked the audience to jot down their first thought that came to mind, a little word association, when they thought of the word stress. And one epic participant put up his hand and said, "Stress is life." How true is it? We are never going to escape the pressure that comes with being human. And we can wrap ourselves up in cotton wool, but ultimately we're always going to have to deal with some form of pressure in our lives. And so one of my aims is to help people deal with that better, to give you a toolkit so that you can get good at stress. Now, the 1, 2, 3s of stress. I always talk to pressure or managing our stress in three parts. That is actively dealing with our demands, managing our mindset, and considering how we are restoring our energy. Okay, so the 1, 2, 3s of stress are demands, mindset, then restoration. So we'll start with dealing with demands. Every single person has demands in their life. As I just said, stress is life. It's pretty accurate. None of us are exempt from this. Now, often people call the demands they're experiencing stress. But just because you're experiencing demand on you or pressure, it doesn't have to immediately mean that it turns into stress. There is a whole lot of stuff we can do in between there to make the difference. A demand for me is simply something that requires you to expend energy on it. So if we think that everything that we expend energy on is a demand, you start to see how many things are demands in our lives. It could be family responsibilities. Personally, getting my two boys out the door and ready for school every day is definitely demanding. Or maybe it's work tasks, interpersonal relationships, or financial pressure. The list is not restricted. We spend our emotional energy in so many different ways throughout our days, and this is all of the demands that stack up. Now, what's important here is that you can step back from all of the things that you are doing and start to recognize where your sources of pressure are coming from, or if we were rephrasing that, how you are spending your energy throughout a day. When you can get that kind of perspective, that's when you can ask yourself, how can I directly manage this challenge? Now, this is called problem-focused coping. If you have debt, how can you find a way to take control of that? Is it reaching out to the company and setting up a payment plan? Could it be decreasing your costs, changing your housing, for example? If you have an interpersonal struggle with someone at work, what are your options? Could it be that you need to have a conversation about what you're struggling with someone? Or if it's an absolute outright clash with a direct manager, for example, is it possibly time that you start looking for another job? If you can't remove tasks, then the next option becomes managing and planning for them. I know for one that with my children in the morning and getting them out of the house, one of the biggest things that has helped us is having a morning routine with a timeline. I now know what I'm supposed to be doing when, if we are going to stay on track. They're only 5 and 7, so they need a little bit of guidance here still. And that's my job. But planning and being systematized in the way I do things has made such a huge difference in reducing the pressure of that time of our day. So when it comes to managing the demands in your life, the question to ask yourself is, what can I do to actively manage or reduce the pressure I'm experiencing? Planning or removing tasks from your to-do list is always a good place to start. That question again, what can I do to actively manage or reduce the pressure I'm experiencing? This is about not shying away from the pressure and dealing with it head on. Active action. Now, the second part of my 1, 2, 3s of stress is your mindset and managing that. The truth is that sometimes we can't directly manage or reduce the pressure we're experiencing, and we still need to get on with life and function like a human. This is where the next two parts of the equation, I think, become really powerful: mindset and restoration. Now, when we're talking about mindset, you need to take a step back for a moment. So many of us neglect to consider how we're approaching the pressure in our lives. We're not thinking about how we're thinking. Yeah, that's so meta, right? Look, the problem with this is, though, is that how we talk to ourselves about the pressure and demands we're experiencing in life has everything to do with whether or not that will turn into stress or not. I want you to think about this for a moment. Are you saying things like, oh, this is so stressful, or I don't want to have to deal with that today, or I can't be bothered? You're undermining yourself right there with the self-talk and the mindset that you are taking to the demands you're experiencing. Now, stress is a subjective experience. It's an emotion. It's an outcome that we feel. A demand or the pressure we're experiencing actually only becomes stressful to us on an emotional level if we label it as such. Now, there are many reasons why we will start to label something as stressful, and mindset isn't always like flicking a switch, but we can consider how we're approaching and looking at the situations we're dealing with. I personally am a big fan of a positive mantra. Now, you do have to have awareness before you can really apply this. You have to notice that how you're approaching your stress might be making it harder for you to deal with. But if you're noticing that you're feeling uptight, overwhelmed, if you can step back and reframe the way you're speaking about a situation, it can make all the difference. One of my husband's favorite mantras is, "You've got this," or one of mine is, "Don't fight what is." Something that really helps me with acceptance if I'm not happy about a situation, or if I've got a long to-do list, one action at a time. So those mantras that we use in our family, "You've got this," "Don't fight what is," or "One action at a time." The idea around mindset is recognizing that the way we talk about or interpret the pressure we're facing has everything to do with whether or not we're going to end up feeling stressed or not, and that we do have the power to change our minds in many circumstances. We can take a more positive approach to the pressure we're facing. That can come in the way of positive self-talk, the mantras like I just suggested, or reframing a situation and looking for what possibly might be good in it. So the second part of the 1-2-3 model of stress is considering your mindset. Now, finally, the third is restoration. This is about how do you re-energize? Are you making this part of your daily routine? Now, when we're talking about managing our pressure and staying one step ahead of stress in our lives, it's the good old cliche of you cannot pour from an empty cup. Unless you're refueling your system, you're literally going to have no gas in the tank to deal with pressure when it arises. We've all been there. We talk about feeling run down when we're spending too much energy and forgetting to refuel our tanks. I'm sure you know what it feels like to feel run down. Now, this is where self-care is essential and cannot be seen as a luxurious if I have time activity. Now, I'm not going to lie, restoration and self-care, the refueling elements of dealing with my pressure, this has been a lifelong struggle for me. If you've listened to this podcast enough, you'll likely have already picked up that vibe from me. That's why I'm so interested in it. But more recently, what I've found has really helped me are daily routines and rituals. I have now built refueling into my daily routine, and I've made it a non-negotiable. Now, obviously, my health crisis helped me probably view this as in a little bit of a different light, and I realized that if I don't have my health, I cannot do anything. But the same is true for you. I hope that you don't have to go through a health crisis to start to prioritize the importance of refueling yourself. So now I have a daily routine that starts with me re-energizing my system. It's not the thing I leave till the end of the day. I start my day with the things that fill up my tank. For me, that looks like a morning well-being practice of meditating, then moving my body for half an hour before doing a short journaling exercise. Now, each to their own, but I do challenge you to think about how you can routinely be refueling your personal energy tank. This can't be haphazard, because I found with my clients as well as myself that if we do this in a haphazard way, it tends to be the thing that gets neglected. We need to bring an element of intention to our well-being practices and build them into our routine. Now, if I haven't convinced you enough, I just want to say that I truly know that I'm a better coach, a better business owner, a better mother, and a better wife when my tank has plenty of gas in it. I'm more energized and I stay on the front foot. Now, regardless of what that looks like from the outside world, it also just feels so much better to feel full, to feel enlivened and energized. When I'm run down, I personally get lazy and everything then becomes much harder. That's when I tend to get in negative spirals and feel like I'm constantly living on the back foot. My restoration is essential in keeping me feeling on the front foot in life. So the question I have for you here is, how are you refueling your energy stores? And how are you making a routine out of re-energizing your spirit? As I mentioned, for me, that looks like self-care and well-being practices that are built into my daily routine. If you also lean towards spirituality, this can be a really important part of regrounding yourself and re-energizing your spirit. Now, that was a super short introduction to my simple 1-2-3 model of stress. And my hope is that it will help you get a better grip of the pressure and stress that you're coping with in your life. If you can get some perspective, step back from your situation and apply these three filters. How am I dealing with my demands? What is the mindset I'm taking to this? And how am I restoring my energy? You put yourself back in a position of power. You start to see what you can do rather than being sucked up in the spiral it can be stress. So just to round out, the 1-2-3s are demands, mindset, restoration. That's what you need to remember. Look at my demands, consider my mindset, and how am I restoring my energy? Now, we talked about things that might help you. When it comes to managing demands, taking direct action is king here. Don't put your head in the sand and pretend problems aren't problems. We feel so much better when we deal with things head on. So go about taking direct action and plan. Give yourself the structure to deal with your demands in life. Mastering your mindset, awareness is essential. You have to be able to step back and get that perspective or to think about how you're thinking. Meditation and mindfulness can help so much with this. But once you can look in and become the observer of your life and responses, positive mantras and reframing the situation can go such a long way. Looking for the upside in your pressure can help you deal with it so much better. And finally, restoration. Make self-care and re-energizing yourself a part of a daily routine. Recognize that you need gas in your tank to be your best self. It can't be something that you tack on every time the tank is empty. You have to make a habit out of refueling your system. Thank you so much for being here and listening to Here to Thrive. If you'd like to know more about what I do in terms of coaching for burnout or fulfillment, or how I speak in organizations about resilience, stress management, and how we can stay on the front foot at work, check out my website, thrive.how, and reach out to connect. It's so lovely connecting with you all, and I feel like it's such an honor to be able to have these conversations and share them with you. Kind of timely, next episode, I'm talking with Jordan Reed from Ramshackle Glam all about her journey with anxiety and her new activity book, to help those among us manage our anxiety. Until then, beautiful people, keep thriving.